Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
All right, kicking off hour three here on Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, JVT, in for the guys for a couple more days as we welcome you back to the program. SiriusXM channel 158, still to come this hour. We're going to have our in-pocket plays at the end of the program, like we always do. Jerry Palm, well-known bracketologist, going to talk through some early college basketball bracket projections, teams to make or miss the field altogether. Should be fun. Get into some interesting numbers there. Olympic hockey discussion as well. Canada, by the way, officially official on the women's side. They win 2-1. So do not cover as a 4.5 puck line favorite. You laid the 3.5. Apologies.
Ended the hot streak.
It happens to us all, to the best of us.
No, I thought I was going to win forever.
Okay.
I thought I was going to remain undefeated on in-game wagers for a while. That would have been it. That would have been possible because I would not have live bet Olympic women's hockey for another 4 years.
So, I exited out of it. No, I didn't. I have it here. Okay. Andrea Brandley, the Swiss goaltender. Unreal looking at some of her numbers. So she has 44 saves on 46 shots in that game after a 40 save shutout that she had in the quarterfinals, a 98 save percentage. Unreal. So you just got caught, and we know that this happens in hockey, as you call it, a stupid sport sometimes,
lovingly.
In the best way at times. Yes, in a lovingly way. But that you can just, sometimes a goalie gets hot and there's nothing you can do about it, and they were shooting their asses off, couldn't do it.
Did you grab my ass?
Love it. You can quote it. You can,
quote
Night
of
the
Roxbury
and everything. Yeah. Shout out Kelly Bidlin for chiming in the chat, by the way. Says we're great. We should have our own show.
3 hours is a little much for
on
you.
For me? Not typically. It's just the time of year that we're at on the calendar right now in particular.
I love this time of year. I think it's actually, I don't want to get into the minutiae of it, but I will just say I think this is a very good challenge for media members and hosts to get out of their comfort zone. Here's an idea, and I'm not saying you do this. I'm just saying, here's an idea.
I'm already upset.
Pay attention to other sports during football season so that at this time of year, you can actually do your job.
So I was going to say, excuse you, sir.
I'm just saying, that's not you. I think we do a good job.
No, I was going to say, how pumped have I been, though, about
sports
all of the
radio.
Olympic coverage that we've had, though, truly. I think this is awesome. On the men's side, it's the first time that we've had NHLers in it in more than a decade. On the women's side, it's just been fun hockey, and now we have a collision course, which that's what, can you, while I'm talking.
Love a good collision course.
Can you pull up the odds for the gold medal game now that it is cemented that we have Team USA versus Team Canada?
I'm doing this
Canada?
Because I want to, not because you told me to.
Also, we were talking about some Olympic curling on Friday, and you were asking about the sweeping, if that slows down or speeds.
Right, it melts the ice and slows it down, correct?
Speeds them up. It melts the pellets and speeds it up.
Okay, so it's the opposite.
Yeah, so it's like as the stone is slowing down, you're scrubbing to try to
keep it going. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Direct it and then keep it moving.
You want men's gold medal odds. Is
women's.
That what you asked for?
No.
Women's. Excuse me. Sorry.
I want to know the women's gold medal game, Canada versus Team USA.
Oh, you want the odds for the gold medal game.
Correct.
Gotcha.
That's the one.
Give me a second, man.
Load it up. Well, also, speaking of scrubbing and sweeping, maybe here, I can look this up while you can tell this story.
Not coming up.
Because
I don't think they have anything up yet.
You apparently were at the grocery store this morning and someone tried to sell you a
last cleaning item.
Thanks
for paying attention to my story. I got accosted by somebody last night outside
accosted.
Of the grocery store.
Them's is fighting words.
I would say it was accosted. I walked up to the grocery store, by the way, to grab apples and peanut butter, because that's a very good combo. And
I agreed.
There was a man that was standing outside of the grocery store with a vacuum cleaner in a shopping cart. The vacuum cleaner was not boxed. It was a vacuum cleaner. Very much so I could see that it had been used, because there was a lot of dust and stuff in the chamber, as you can tell. It's been used. And this dude makes eye contact with me. He goes, "Hey, dude, you know what this is? It's a Dyson." And I said, "Okay. Yes, I can see that. Yes, it's a Dyson." He goes, "You want to sit? It's $25. You want it?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want the Dyson. I'm sorry. It's okay." He goes, "Why? Is it because it's so cheap?" And he's kind of getting angry at me because I don't want to buy this weird Dyson that's been used and it's just in his shopping cart. And I looked at him. I said, "No, it's because I have one." And I walked into the store. When I left, he was getting in a car and putting the Dyson back in the car, and they were driving off somewhere.
So he's
just going around to grocery stores trying to hawk this used thing. I don't understand what the... Just ask me for $25. I wouldn't have given it to you, but I'm going to buy the vacuum.
Are you the only one that he approached?
That's the other part. Yes. There was three other people that walked up, but it was me for some reason. He was like, "Sucker." That guy's going to buy this vacuum.
Is going to buy this used vacuum for me. I can see it.
I just like how he referred it. You got this Dyson. You know what that is? Like, yes, I know what a Dyson is.
We do actually have the odds, though, up for this Canada-USA game. Unfortunately, though, this is not what I wanted to have happen. So we were hoping that the gold medal game between Canada and Team USA would be a better price than what it was for USA to win gold. Previously, they were like minus 320. Mm. They're a $4 favorite against Canada for the game. Total, 5.5, minus 135 on the under, plus 110 to the over.
What were they the first game?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'll go back and look. The only reason I ask is, obviously, there's a change. Canada's healthier, so I'm curious
the difference is. But, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It was significant. They were laying... But it was the same puck line. Like the juice was not as heavy as this one was, I don't think, on the 1.5. I think I laid like minus 130 on the 1.5 puck line. Mm-hmm. It's minus 150 anyways, all of that to say. Team Canada plus 125 getting the goal and a half on the puck line. And we're seeing Team USA already getting bet. I'm looking at least the live odds on BetMGM right now, where they're out to minus 450 almost instantly. I would play that Team USA -1.5. Okay. I think I'm going to. I'm going to shop around, though, see if I can find better prices other than this one that I see live. That's it. We'll get into more Olympic hockey a little bit later on. I do want to make sure we touch on this hour once again, because we're going to have Jerry Palm on to talk through the bracketology of it all. But we do have a couple really big games coming up tonight as standalones, one of them being a game. And I didn't really get your answer to this. I think tonight Houston and Iowa State could be one of the best games of the year. Like, if these two really play to the peak of their powers, could we not have an awesome basketball game tonight?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. These are two of the best teams in the country. So this should be a very, very good game in terms of entertainment and quality. I do wonder what Iowa State's offense looks like in the half court against such a good Houston defense, especially in this backcourt defensively for Houston. They're very good at the point of attack. So I'm going to be curious to see how that looks. But, no, this should be, in general, I don't think anybody's going, I'm not watching this. Like, no, this should be a fantastic game tonight.
I was interested hearing from Brian that he said he's going to see where this line ends up moving. And I know we had the discussion too, curious to see where this ultimately closes, but that he had the lean toward Iowa State, especially since we were both kind of leaning Houston. He did, however, was very adamant about the side in Syracuse being the right one, taking the 20.5 points at Duke.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, it seems a little high. I mean, some of the projections are a little bit higher in terms of Duke right now in some spots. A 20.5 point favorite. Some of the projection you can find out there more in the range of like 19, 18. So I think that that's a little too high here for the Blue Devils. Syracuse, look, they're fighting for their lives. If they can get a win here, obviously it's going to go a long way to potentially fighting their way into the bubble. I say that with some hesitancy because it's not really a particularly great portfolio right now, and they'd be very much on the outside looking in as it stands. So maybe you can grab a win and get this done, but you look overall at the Orange and what they have done so far this year. Best win is going to be Tennessee, Ken Pomp's top 19 team, top 18 team, and then, of course, a quad one victory there among some others that they have on the docket, including coming off of a win against SMU. So I think you could probably get Syracuse to stay inside of this number. Not a perfect team, but they do have some strengths. They're a pretty solid three-point shooting team, although they don't take a ton. And defensively, they're at least not abhorrent, although there are some issues, including their rebounding has been pretty bad so far this year. And I think Duke's a pretty good rebounding team, especially with what they have down low.
Yeah, last I checked. Yeah. Pretty good. That conversation, by the way, was with Brian Edwards. I didn't like fully explain who that was. Vegas Insider does a great job. Senior handicapper, majorwager.com. And good reminder, too, if you ever miss any segment of any of our shows here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, you can go VSiN Best Bets feed wherever you get your podcasts, and every hour that is live on this network every day is repopulated and put there in the feed each and every day. You mentioned Syracuse as one of those will they, won't they kind of tournament teams, getting into the nitty gritty of it. Before we have Jerry on in a little bit, were there any teams that have been top of mind for you when it comes to the bubble, when it comes to make-miss playoff options, anything like that that has really caught your attention?
Yes, actually, there's a pretty interesting team that I can't wait to ask Jerry about, but it is Auburn. So we have these odds to make the NCAA tournament, and you know, obviously they come up every week, and they kind of filter around and take them in and out. But what I find interesting about where Auburn is right now, Jerry, who we're going to talk to here in a little bit, has them on the first four in. Actually, might be the first four out. I'm looking at his old ones. But either way, the whole point here being Auburn's barely right there. They're firmly on the bubble. And yet, you look at the way the market's pricing them, Stormy. Yes, minus 450. No, plus 310. Now, Lenardi's got them in, so I do wonder if the market leans a little bit more towards a Lenardi type in terms of the bracketology. I'm very curious about a team like Auburn and what that looks like for the Tigers, because the market firmly believes that they are in. But I think there's some question as to that being the case. And if you look on Bracket Matrix, out of the, I think, 102 so far that they have polled right now, 101 have Auburn in. So I'm curious to see what Jerry Palm thinks about what their status is. But they're very much at the top of the list. And the Mountain West teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your team, San Diego State, on the bubble. They have the opportunity to grab some wins, but if you actually look at their non-conference, obviously we know it didn't go well. They lost to Troy, so it's a pretty bad loss on the resume when you look at the quadrant. I think Troy would be a quad three loss, if I remember correctly. But where San Diego State falls, and if they can just win their way in, given the strength of their schedule down the stretch, because the Mountain West is fine, but it's not insanely strong. And how many teams the Mountain West are going to get in? Because right now, with San Diego State on the bubble, I think Lenardi's only got two Mountain West teams. Okay. And I remember at one point it looked like they were going to get three. And the one that is firmly in right now is Utah State.
Yep. With the Mountain West top of mind, we didn't even talk about this. We didn't even text about this over the weekend. I don't know who we are. UNLV?
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Good comeback. The Rebels do.
Get the upset in Boise.
I'm going to call this now. I'm not going to bet this, but I'm willing to bet UNLV is a sexy bet once we get to the Mountain West tournament. The upside's there, and they're starting to get a little bit healthier, and they have the best scorer in the league in Dre Gibbs Longhorn. I think they're going to be an intriguing team when you talk about playing a tournament on your own home court. I can't wait to go with you.
Yes, we will. I actually was texting my old boss man yesterday, okay. And we are in there like swimwear. We've got all the tickets to the tournament, so you don't have to get a credential. You can drink some beverages. You can enjoy the action.
I can drink water.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Yep.
Boo. Now I'm just going to have to drink all of your drinks for you.
Sober Von Tobel. Doesn't really rhyme.
I know we talked some women's hockey a moment ago, but the men's qualification round is set, as are the four group winners that get the bye into the quarterfinals. We will discuss those games coming up next right here on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We told you about the Caleb Wilson injury for North Carolina last Friday, and a couple more significant injuries in college hoops. They are piling up over the weekend for nationally ranked programs. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Follow the Money. Koa Pete for the top-ranked Arizona Wildcats and Richie Saunders for BYU, both of them going down. Still curious the extent of what this is going to be for Pete and Arizona, but maybe let's start there, as they have been the top-ranked team in the country. How significant is this?
I mean, it's very big, especially when you look at a team like Arizona, who, if he cannot play this week, this will be the first time that they don't use the same starting five all year long. Mm-hmm. So the continuity has been very important for Arizona. Under Tommy Lloyd, there's been injuries in the past that have derailed the season a little bit as well. So it's a pretty big deal if he cannot go. Obviously, past the actual statistical impact, 13.8 points, 5.4 rebounds, 2.6 assists, shooting over 54% from the floor for the Wildcats as well. Via our friends over at CBB Analytics, a plus 10.8 net differential. So in other words, he improves their net rating by 10.8 points every 100 possessions out there on the floor. He's a massive force for Arizona, and especially, I mean, it comes at the worst time, right?
Yeah.
Because now you're starting to slide a little bit here, and you have people questioning, like, well, I'm going to first sign. This team stinks. And, like, look, it's hard to go undefeated. It's a very difficult conference as well. I think that there's a little bit more at play here, but either way, this comes at the worst time. Remember, another player missed with illness this last game as well. So all of a sudden, could be down two guys when you're looking at a team that was nearly perfect from a health standpoint all throughout the year.
Yeah, and this injury aside was something that we were talking about with Arizona regardless, just due to the point of the schedule that they're at right now in Big 12 play. They lose that game to Kansas. They obviously lose as a big favorite to Texas Tech. And now you have number 23 BYU up on deck, which we'll talk about them in a moment with an injury of their own that's impactful for a team that has already been, I think it's fair to say, struggling.
Yeah.
For a team that we wanted to buy in on and just haven't been able to. Then they've got at Houston Saturday, at Baylor, against Kansas again, and Iowa State to round out their next five games. This is a very tough portion of the Arizona Wildcats schedule.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I think they're good enough that they're going to be able to overcome it. There is, and they, I guess they were for a while, a perfect team, but they are not a perfect team. One of the things I think you would like to see, they are 363rd in the country in three-point attempt rate. I think you'd like to take a few more three-point attempts. They're floating around 35-36% from beyond the arc. So the fact that you don't take a ton and you're floating around a pretty average mark from beyond the arc for a college team, those are things that I think kind of bother you as well for this group. But they're just so good in transition, mm-hmm. Stormy. They're so good on defense. They're going to be able to win some games here in the NCAA tournament. I think we tend to think the sky is falling for the most part when these teams start to take a couple of hits. And you alluded to it. I mean, the schedule is tough, but it's like two teams that desperately need to stop us. BYU's not on a skid, but to kind of get right.
Yeah.
And they will meet each other on Wednesday.
Well, let's go there because Richie Saunders tore his ACL like 45 seconds into the game. Yeah. It was right away. He's been having a career year, averaging highs in points, rebounds, assists, and steals, shooting 37.6% from three. And he is another key cog to everything that they try to do offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty important here when you're talking about what Saunders brings to the table. So, go ahead.
I guess, like, just not just that, but, like, how much now with his absence is that going to put pressure on A.J. DeBonta and Wright? And, like, what does this look like now?
The way that I look at it is it's not even so much because it will put more. You know, you got to take some more shots around. You got to spread those out. He's averaging 18 points, shooting over 48% from essentially 50% from the floor and 37% from three. My real question is, this has been a team that has really struggled on defense over the last 10 games. And it's not like Saunders is some shutdown defender from what I have seen, but he is a good offensive player. And if you're going to play bad offense, or you're going to play bad defense, you need to at least supplement it with some sort of high-end offense. And so now, if you're going to continue to play some very subpar defense, and now your offense is going to take a hit, that's where I think you start to really worry here. Over the last 10 games for BYU, they're 5-5 straight up. They're 1-9 against the spread. Their defensive rating has been 120.6. That ranks in the 11th percentile. These numbers, again, courtesy of our friends over at CBB Analytics. Check them out at cbbanalytics.com. Like, this has been a brutal stretch for BYU on defense. So now all of a sudden, if you're going to continue down that path, but also your offense takes a hit, I think that's what you're really worried about, because I think we've seen now, especially since we've gotten into conference play, I think this team is somewhat limited defensively.
Yeah. There have been so many times where I have, like, okay, BYU is going to stop the bleeding. This is a good number for them to be able to get a cover, get off the mat. Nope, haven't been able to do it.
I was just going to say, look at their two wins, right? Yeah. 90-86, 99-94. Yeah. I mean, they're not even, they're winning these games, but they're still just getting gouged on defense.
Speaking to all of these injuries, I suffered an injury yesterday.
What happened?
I was at an arcade.
Okay.
And I was playing that game where you throw the ball at the little, like, clown heads and they, like, fall down. I think I, like, pulled or strained something in my bicep.
By throwing little red balls at the clowns in the arcade?
Yes, because then I tried to play skee ball after that, and my arm was just, you pick up the little skee ball, and it was so heavy. I was like, something's really
the
wrong with me.
The skee ball was heavy. You know what's funny? Not to carry, I'm not doing this on purpose, I swear to God. So I suffered an injury over the weekend as well, and I thought it was embarrassing until you just told
me that.
What
was your
story.
Injury? What happened?
I tweaked my back deadlifting.
Well, that's not embarrassing. That happens
because a lot of people. Yeah, but a back injury is like an old man thing. You know what I mean?
I'm worried if I actually did really injure this thing, that my two most significant injuries of my adult life have tearing my meniscus from standing up from the floor and then potentially a bicep injury from throwing a small ball at clowns.
There's no way. You still feeling something?
I put like a heating pad on it last night and everything before I went to bed.
I think the lesson here is that you might need a little bit more physical activity in your life.
Okay, thanks for that. Well, now that football season's over, I think
Skee ball.
I should do more, but now I don't want to lift any weights because I'm in pain. I try to lift up my water bottle, and it's like, even this is, doesn't feel good.
That's very fast. I'm fascinated by that.
We do have, on that note, a big Monday in college basketball today. I know we're going to talk more about, like, teams on the bubble and all of that. We'll get into bracketology throughout the course of the day. But three of the top six teams in the country are playing today. The big one, which could be one of the best games of the year, potentially, Houston and Iowa State going head-to-head, number two v number six. Cyclones lost that weird game at TCU, but likely a look-ahead spot to the game that was Saturday against Kansas, a game they win 74-56. Iowa State, meanwhile, winners in six of their last seven, covered in five of those, short spread with two really good teams. What do you make of it?
I mean, I lean toward Houston here a little bit. I mean, here's the thing, and I espouse this when we talked about the Kansas game, but ultimately Iowa State ended up getting there and really just beating the tar out of them. But when we have seen Iowa State at its weakest points, it's been when its offense has been forced to slow down and it plays a little bit more half-court centric. Obviously, you look at the three losses, and the common thread there is averaging less than a point per possession in those contests. And that, to me, is something that can happen here when you take on Houston. But Iowa State is very good, and you do wonder if they're going to play their game, how would it be? Well, they're going to force a bunch of turnovers. Problem is, Houston is second best in the country in offensive turnover rate. So they're not really, at least you would think, not going to force a ton of turnovers here because Houston does take care of the ball very well. I think maybe what gets Houston potentially, they are very much a jump shooting team. They rank 364th in the country in average two-point attempt distance. They rank 357th in the country in free throw rate. They don't get to the rim. They don't get to the line. And so in some of these games where you're going to have maybe some disjointed performances, I think maybe that's what could get you in a road environment potentially. But I trust Houston a lot defensively.
The only thing that concerns me about Houston is the lack of being really tested the last handful of weeks, with the exception of what a BYU team that we just said has played subpar to this point.
And then your game. Was like a month ago.
Texas Tech. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the like one game that they've lost in since November, essentially, is that game at Texas Tech in Lubbock.
You were stuck there for a month.
I was stuck there for a very long time. Yeah, have not. Trust me. We'll never forget that glorious long weekend that I spent in Lubbock, Texas. That said, you're much more analytical, and I found myself having to bring numbers to support a lot of my arguments with you. But I'm much more of a vibes player, and like the vibes are just telling me Houston +3 feels good. And like, I like a money line sprinkle, you know, like I just like, I have a good feeling about Houston. Can't wait for them to crash and burn now that I said it. But you mentioned their defense. I mean, both of these teams are top 5-6 in defensive rating in the country, which leads to like another argument that you might want to get to. It is a lower total game, 134.5. But I was just looking through recent games for these guys. Total in Houston's games, falling under the total in 5 straight and 10 of the last 13. Iowa State, 3 straight unders, 9 of their last 13 have also gone under. Like, these have both been very defensive-minded under teams in recent history.
Yeah. I also think, to the point of this matchup too, Houston's got the ball handlers to, I think, really help with some of the pressure that they're going to face to not turn the ball over as much, as I think it's why they rank so well in terms of turnover rate on offense. So I would agree. I mean, I think that this play tonight here for Houston, we'll see what the market wants to do with it as we get closer to tip-off. I think that'll be the other interesting question is where does it ultimately get played? But saw this open some spots, 1.5, 2.5. It's 3 here at Circa, so maybe that'll be the point where it stops. But it got to 3 and hasn't really moved since.
Also, Duke in action today, number 3 ranked team in the country, hosting Syracuse. Big spread here, 20.5, total 144.5. Duke's only losses in the season at UNC a couple of weeks ago at the buzzer, and a 1-point loss on a neutral to Texas Tech back in December. They have been very good. Coming off the win against Clemson, never really in doubt, but could this be a look-ahead spot for the Blue Devils? I think that's the one thing that you look at with the scheduling spot against a team where you're such a big favorite, knowing you've got Michigan on deck.
Yeah, and then Syracuse maybe trying to claw their way into the bubble watch here, potentially. You get a win over Cal in double overtime. You beat SMU. If you could pull this off, obviously, it's a quad one win for you that'll do very well toward the resume. But I would doubt it. 20.5, though, does seem like a relatively big number considering where some of the projections are at.
All right, on that note, we got to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, are we still 2-0 right now for your Canadian women?
We are.
All right, so we're going to sweat out JVT's laying 3.5 goals in that game.
Another power play for the Swiss.
About a period and a quarter left to go. When we come back, we are going to get into some hockey. Excited to have Sarah Sivian join the program. Been covering the NHL for a long time. Very dialed in on everything that is going on in Milan right now. So don't go anywhere. More Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Tony Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for the guys here as we welcome you back to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Lots of college hoops to get into, not only today, but from a futures perspective. Excited to have Brian Edwards join us here on the Progressive Guest Line, MajorWager.com. Also, senior handicapper for Vegas Insider, covers the SEC very closely as an analyst for Southeastern 16. Follow him on X at Vegas B Edwards. And let's get right into it, Brian, because we've got a couple really big games with nationally ranked teams in action tonight, Syracuse and Duke. We've also got Houston and Iowa State, but let's start with the big spread at Duke. JVT and I were talking a little bit earlier about, could this maybe be one of those look ahead spots even for Duke here? Big spreads in 20.5. What's your evaluation?
I like Syracuse here, 4-2 against the spread in 6 road games this year. And they have not lost by more than 20, except for when Donnie Freeman was out of the lineup there for a 9-game stretch. And I say by 20 because obviously we got the number at 20 and one half. Syracuse playing well right now, and with Freeman, they're 11-6 against the spread on the season, but 5-0 against the spread with three outright wins in their last five back-to-back home wins over Cal and SMU. And when they've been a dog of 7.5 or more, the Orange 4-2 against the spread with a one outright win, and Duke only 5-7 ATS at home, and mired in an 0-4 ATS slide and 4-9 ATS last 13 is double digit chalk. I will go with Syracuse. I also like the over. However, I got 141.5 this morning. It's up to 145.5 now, so I can't recommend it with that line movement.
All right, let's go to another one that you've got here on the list. Brian, Stephen F. Austin, what do you like here? Relatively short favorite at A&M at Corpus Christi.
Yeah, I love the Stephen A. Austin team led by Keon Thompson, who just dropped a season-high 32 points on Saturday. He averages 18.4 points, 5.2 rebounds, 4.3 assists per game. Stephen A. Austin on an 11-game winning streak, eight of those wins by at least seven. They've been a single-digit favorite 14 times this year, going 12-2 against the spread, and 15 of their 23 wins by double digits, 19 of them by at least seven. I'll go with the Lumberjacks minus the 4.5.
Brian, I know you don't have a play in the Houston-Iowa State game today, but sometimes like someone like you who digs into the numbers as much as you do, the value in not having a play can help inform a lot of our decisions that are looking at some of these games. Why was that a no play for you today?
Well, I guess I don't really have that good of a reason because Iowa State has been automatic at home this year, 14-0. Straight up. Now, only 7-7 ATS, but not many numbers this small. In fact, 12 of their 14 home wins by double digits. So it's a lean to Iowa State. If Syracuse does me right, maybe I'll add the Cyclones later tonight.
All right, Brian, I think you'll be proud of me. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Florida Gators were an addition to my futures portfolio at 18-1. They seem to be the hot flavor lately. What's a still playable price for them to win a national championship?
Well, we're going to repeat, so whatever works. But I saw 15-1 at DraftKings earlier today, so that's very acceptable. I'm not going to lay the 20-plus tomorrow, but I am going to be looking at the team total against South Carolina. Now, I haven't seen a team total yet, but just by my not very good math, with the total at 149.5 and the total 21.5, I'm thinking 86.5 or 87, and I'll go team total over. I would go up to 88. Florida has scored 86 or more in 12 of their last 15 and 90 or more in 10 of the last 15 and scored 95 at South Carolina a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, 15-1 future play at DraftKings, I highly recommend. And team total tomorrow night at 88 or fewer, I'll also like that.
Curious, just some more details on the Gators really quick before you move on to some of your other spots. This backcourt, how has this looked in recent weeks? Do you think they're starting to figure this out? Obviously, shooting has been a little bit of an issue for them, especially as we've gotten into conference play. But what have you made of this backcourt, and is this getting better for the Gators?
Yeah, it definitely is. In the game at Georgia last week, Xavien Lee and Boogie Flan actually led the Gators in scoring. And Boogie, who's struggled with a shot this year, was 7 of 13 from the field. And Lee had another huge game against Kentucky. When Florida lost all those non-conference games to, you know, high-level non-conference competition and close games, Boogie and Lee were struggling mightily, especially shooting the ball. They're both not just not struggling now, they're both playing good, especially Lee. Lee's playing really good here over the last five or six games. And, I got Florida at number one in my power rankings. People can call me a homer all they want, but who's going to go against Florida in a pick'em game on a neutral court? Please tell me who you're taking. I would wonder who.
Stormy, Xavien Lee shooting 27% from three for the season, but 7 of 16 in his last two games. So might be figuring it out from beyond the arc.
All right. Brian Edwards joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, MajorWager.com, Vegas Insider. We have talked a lot about this Miami of Ohio team throughout the course of the year. I don't know many people that had on their bingo card that they would be the last undefeated team remaining in college basketball, yet here we are. They're a 3.5-point favorite at UMass coming up tomorrow. Why was that a game that caught your attention?
Yeah, I'm leaning hard to UMass here, and I'll probably be playing it, but I kind of want to be patient. I'm hoping maybe the line will go north of 3.5. But UMass led outright at Miami of Ohio for more than 30 minutes when they easily covered a couple of weeks ago. And UMass has been an underdog 10 times this season, 8-2 against the spread with 4 outright wins. And of those 6 outright losses as an underdog, 4 of them were by 10 combined points. So I think UMass Frank Martin's got a good shot at handing Miami of Ohio first loss tomorrow.
All right. Would love it. It's not that I don't like this Miami Ohio team. It's just, you know, it's like the Breaking Bad thing. Can't keep getting away with it, you know?
You've been looking for spots actively to fade them.
We've had some success playing against them, but we haven't gotten that win. So we'll see if we can get it here. All right, let's go to the Big East, Brian. Villanova and Xavier, what do you got here? Look aheads for today. We're looking at 5.5 in favor of Villanova, some 4.5s as well. Totals 149.5 or 150.5.
I'm going to go over 149.5, 19-4 run for Xavier to the over in its last 23 games. The last 9, I won't bore you with all the combined scores, but a lot of them have been into the 160s, 70s, and 80s. And their games this year are averaging combined scores of 156.3. And the over is also on a 10-2 run for Nova, albeit at some lower totals compared to Xavier, but I like it over anyway.
Let's go back, Brian, to your beloved SEC coming up tomorrow, Texas hosting LSU. And I know the Tigers have had a rough go of it down the stretch here. Texas laying 9.5. Total right now, I'm seeing 155.5. What's your approach?
Yeah, I like Texas here. 4-game winning streak, 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 contests. They're 11-3 straight up at home. They've won by double-digit margins in 10 of those 11 home wins. LSU, we'll know on the injury report tonight, but probably going to be without their second leading scorer, Max McKinnon, who missed the game Saturday at Tennessee. They played pretty tough against Tennessee on Saturday. But look, this team has been getting smashed in their games here recently. 3 losses in a row by double digits, 6 of their last 7 contests they've lost, and 5 of those by double-digit margins. I like how the Longhorns are playing. I'll lay the 9.5 with Texas.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten. What has gotten into the Badgers? I mean, they got some impressive pelts on the wall right now, and now they have to go and take on Ohio State after a big win. What do we make of Wisconsin's spot here coming up tomorrow?
Man, I got to keep riding this hot team. I've got them all the way up to – where do I have them in my power rankings? I've got them up to 21, which is way higher than where KenPom and the Net have them. I made them a 3-point favorite. They're 5-1 against the spread on the road this year with 4 outright wins. They're 9-2 straight up, 8-3 ATS in their last 11, like you said, JVT. Big-time wins at Michigan and Illinois, and then smacked Sparty the other night in Ohio State's. Going to be without one of their best players, John Mobley. He's out, averages 15.1 points per game, shoots 40% from 3, 87.8% from the line. That's a huge loss for the Buckeyes, who are 5-9 against the spread in 14 home games. I like Wisconsin to win outright. Might be able to get them as a short dog.
Wisconsin, a team you think can make a little noise come tournament time?
I think so, Stormy. I mean, gosh, who's got better wins than at Michigan, at Illinois in terms of, you know, your top 2 wins? The way they're playing, they look like a Sweet 16 team at least.
Brian, awesome stuff. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Good luck with the plays.
Thanks, y'all. Thank y'all. Have a good one.
Thanks, bud.
Brian Edwards. Again, follow him on X, Vegas B. Edwards, MajorWager.com, senior handicapper for Vegas Insider, also Southeastern 16, all of the SEC breakdowns. You guys very like-minded with this Florida team right now.
They're starting to figure it out, man. Like, that backcourt, that was the big thing. Xavier Lee, Boogie Flan, especially Flan, he still really shot the ball particularly well, but we know he can. And so if you start to get that together, which it seems to be the case, we already know what that front court is, and they're going to be a very, very dangerous team. So let's go Gators. Like we mentioned, got them. We talked about that 2-3 weeks ago, 18-1, and market's really starting to move and shrink on the Gators here, and rightfully so.
I'm excited to continue the basketball talk a little bit later on in the college game when we have Jerry Palm on to talk through some of the bracketology, because it is like SEC, how many teams are they going to get in? The Big Ten, the Big 12, like it should be a pretty fun tournament when we get there. That said, we got to step aside. More action coming up here on Follow the Money next, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The guy. has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right, I'm up. Let's go. It's Angels over 70.5 wins. -105. I'm sorry. There's a lot of things that happened. You know, a lot of thoughts race through my mind. I don't know where I want to go every single time. So plays for today, Angels over 70.5 wins at -105. We talked about this earlier, part of our play ball series here today. I do think there's enough upside to get this team back to that 72-74 win mark. I don't think they're going to push for 85 or anything crazy, but I do believe, given the youth in this team, the potential direction that some of the young players have pointed themselves with their play, and the upside of some of the veterans that they have added to the back end of this rotation, if you get the good part of Grayson Rodriguez for a stretch and he's healthy, I think it is safe to say that this team can replicate the 72-ish win season, so it'll be a sweat. But I do think this number should be about 72.5, 73.5, not 70.5. So we'll go Angels over 70.5. And this is just because I've watched this Italian hockey team and I have watched absolute dreck on the ice, even to my untrained eye. Give me Switzerland puck line -3.5, -135.
Beautiful. Do you have anything to grade over the weekend? Yeah,
yep,
you do.
Con Knipple to win the 3-point contest. Did not get there. 3-1. It is a loser. But that was the only thing I had over the weekend. I was hoping that the Great White Hope would get me there, and he did not.
I had a lot more over the weekend. We'll get to that in a moment. But the plays added today, as you said, though, fading Italy. I'm fading both Italy and France. They're the two worst teams in the field. I think they're going to lose by margin to Switzerland and Germany, respectively. So those have officially been added. The puck line on Germany, -2.5 for that one, -130 your price, -135 for the Switzerland puck line. I also added Team USA women to beat Canada on the puck line, -1.5, -150. I just wanted to get this locked in. I am going to hold out and hope that there are maybe some better numbers, although on BetMGM we've already seen -170, so I just wanted to make sure I got in there with at least one bet on it already. The Angels also, I'm joining you. We're doing that a team play, show play for the season. Season-long sweat, just like we did with the Hornets. That one got home in the NBA. See if we can do it in Major League Baseball as well, -105 that price. We do have a couple pending as well here. The Czech Republic 4-1 to medal. It ain't gonna happen. So we should have just graded this. We should have just put an L on it.
Why?
They should beat Denmark in the qualification round, although I'm not sure. They've been the biggest disappointment for me of this entire tournament to this point.
Okay.
And then even if they do win, they are going to meet a juggernaut and get bludgeoned by Canada.
You don't know that, I believe.
Oh, I know for a fact. So chalk that up as an L. Meanwhile, Canada to win gold in men's hockey. We added that on Friday at +114. I'm feeling good about it. It's -140 right now. And in a moment, actually, we will talk about a potential other way to bet on Canada to win it all at a better price. So we can have that discussion in a moment. Let's grade everything from the weekend. So our Rasmus Dahlin points prop finally got there. He got over the 4.5 just in the preliminary round. So that was a beautiful thing to see. Finland, meanwhile, in Group B. I already told you my stupidity leading to the bad beat on that one where they beat up on Italy 11-0 in that final game. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're cruising. We're going to somehow come back and win this bet because of goal differential. Rongo bongo, sister. It was the goal differential for the teams that were in the three-way tie, and so the Italian game didn't count, and it crushed my soul. Russell Henley, top 10, doesn't get there, but the top 20 at least does, so we count that as a dub. Victor Hovland was too busy throwing his umbrella at his golf ball in a tree to get us a top 20, so that was a loss. However, shout out both of the soccer plays that we ended up getting. Both Inter versus Juventus and Coventry and Middlesbrough go over the 2.5 respective goals in that. So a pair of dubs on the pitch for soccer. College basketball, not so much. Those plays on Friday. St. Louis team total was 39. We took the over 42.5. That didn't get there against Loyola Chicago. Michigan State obviously got crushed by Wisconsin. So that's an L there as well. But it's nice that shout out Steve Wiss, once again, the meat man, for coming in the clutch with the soccer plays. Those were his two favorites of the day, were the over goals. He thought we were going to get a lot of them. Over 2.5 for both, and they got 4 and 5 goals respectively in each of those two games. Reminder, the sharp plays, as we talk about basketball and all of this, is where bettors find their edge this time of year. Dozens of games a night in college hoops, constant line movement, and an opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not going to beat billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to insider sources, the sharp plays delivers sharp action, key numbers, market shifts, and more, all before the public catches up. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs and transparent results all since 2011. They've been backing it up. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college basketball season at SharpPlays.com. So I mentioned another way that you can potentially bet on Team Canada. And this was something I heard our own Jonathan Davis bring up a little bit earlier today on VSiN. He joined Dave Ross and Mark Malusis and the VSiN by the Books crew today. And was I hate you so much. Can't we just have a conversation without you being you for 5 seconds? Oh, God. Mack and Celebrini to have the most goals. So right now, Team Canada has gone from, when we talked about this on Friday, in the plus 115 range to minus 140 to win the gold medal ultimately. Connor McDavid, also minus 140 to win MVP for the Olympic Games right now. But Macklin Celebrini, who currently leads the field, he's tied with Germany's Tim Stützle for 4 goals to this point. And he's only going to have more and more opportunity. How many times have we talked about the line combos for Team Canada and just what they've been able to put together to score? We have. I know that you're being funny and you're like making fun of me, but we have.
That is actually a compliment to you. I have not said anything about the line combos for Canada. You have. So, yes, I'm going to be sarcastic there because I am actually giving you the compliment. I did not say anything about Canada's line combos. It has been all you. I have just been betting stuff in-game and saying, hey, that's a lot of shots. Let's play that team. And that's literally been my whole strategy this whole time.
Well, he is still, and granted, it's not the 20-1 price that he was available at pre-tournament, but to lead the field in goals scored, plus 275. And like that just could be an alternate angle. If he continues to drive offense and make the most of the line pairings that he's had, I think there's great opportunity for him just to continue to add to this goal scoring number. So plus 275, I think could be a worthwhile angle if you're looking to buy in on Team Canada. And shout out our own Jonathan Davis for that one.
All right. I like it. Dope.
I mean, look at some of the way that these numbers. So Celebrini too for MVP. I don't think that's going to, I mean, Connor McDavid is.
How is it decided in the Olympics?
It's not, I don't think it's just point scoring, but it's like
no,
the
I
same.
Just mean, is it the tournament in its entirety going back to group play? Is it just the knockout stage?
The entirety.
Okay.
All it's right. The entirety of it. And like McDavid is about to break an Olympic record for most points in a single Olympic Games. So he's going to win it.
And in Olympic Games. Gotcha.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So he's already tied the Team Canada record for the most with 9. 11 is the record for a single games. He still has multiple games that he's going to play here if we expect Canada to do what we all expect them to do and is at least make the gold medal game. So he's going to get there. But Celebrini for MVP down from 22-1 to 12-1. Jack Eichel, if you think the Americans can get it done, he's a 20-1 shot. I just don't, though. And I'm curious your opinion because you've watched enough of these games now. I am of the belief, having watched as much of Team Canada now and knowing that the goaltending has stood up because that was the biggest question about them coming in. They are a wagon offensively. The goaltending has done its job. I don't think they can be beat at this point. But Team USA obviously has a ton of talent themselves, and you never know on any given day like who can beat somebody. So do you think that the Americans can contend with the Canadians?
I mean, I think they can. My question would be, who would be in goal in the gold medal game if it gets to that point?
For the U.S.?
For Canada.
It'll be Jordan Binnington.
It would be Binnington still?
Even though if you ask like most Canadians out there and fans of this team, they probably think they could, for as good as Team Canada has been, I think most Canadians say Logan Thompson would make them even better.
Yeah.
But Binnington has been good, and Binnington, at least in the eyes of John Cooper, who is their coach, has earned it.
So my question would be for you, has Binnington been good, or has he been on the right side of variance in a game like hockey? And is the old Binnington maybe just kind of looming
here? No, I think
here?
He's been good.
Okay.
Yeah. Logan Thompson's better.
I mean, I think then I would ask, do you think that carries over to the National Hockey League?
Lord knows. I mean, his team is so bad, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So, I mean, maybe
he's
right.
Got a lot more help on Team Canada than he does it in St. Louis.
I'll bust out a hockey term here. Maybe a better blue line play in front of him.
Maybe.
Maybe actually does help a little bit, does it not?
It should. Yeah.
See? Look at that. Huh?
One would think. Look at you go. But I didn't get the best number on Team Canada, but still at a plus money price on Friday, I'm very, very happy with that. I feel fairly confident that they are going to win it. And it's a nice emotional hedge for me, too, as an American, that I want to root for Team USA, and I will be cheering for them in the game. But if they lose, then I get some money out of it with Team Canada. So I'm happy with it. Are you going to play anything?
What are you talking about? I have Switzerland on the puck line.
No, I mean, like, futures-wise. Do you care about any of them? Are you going to play the women's game?
No.
No.
I'm just saying, we're game by game here, Stormathy.
Okay. I have heard a number of people say they think that Team USA can get knocked out in the qualifications. In the quarterfinals.
What is it safe to say their bracket?
It'll likely be Sweden.
A little bit tougher?
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, you would think as a two seed that they would get a better draw, but instead they have most likely Sweden coming on that side, who I just don't know what to expect from them. And this is something that we can, I think, is worthwhile to discuss again tomorrow, is I don't know what version of Sweden is going to come out, because the one that we have seen is not nearly playing to the capabilities of their talent.
Sure.
So if the one that we've seen so far is the one that Team USA is going to get, great. And they're going to move on and they're going to play in the gold medal game. But if they play one that is like capable of actually how good they are, they could be in trouble. That's it. That's a wrap for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Keep it locked right here, though. VSiN Prime Time with our boys, Tim Murray and Will Hill, coming up next. Have a great day. Good luck with your bets.